Good morning. For those of you who are visiting with us this morning, we are delighted to have you in the worship here at Westminster. I want to follow the theme of our cantata this morning, so I'm going to ask you if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. Put your finger there and also turn to Luke chapter 1, reading verses 26, 30 through 33. It was the theme of our cantata in the birth of Christ, the manger suite. As you are turning there, let me open us with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to be before you, before the throne of grace, and to worship you. And Father, we ask now that you would show us the beauties and the benefits of our Savior, that you might bless us as we reflect upon the gift of Christmas, the gift of Christ to us, the sent one. We ask that you would encourage our hearts, that you would bless us by your word, and that you would teach us anew with freshness the truths of the gospel in Christ the Savior. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God from Matthew chapter 1. This of the angelic voice to Joseph as he ponders the pregnancy of his wife to be betrothed, or his betrothed to be his wife, Mary. Verse 20 through 23, we read, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for this which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.'" Then over in Luke chapter 1, the companion piece of the angel's words to Mary, verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth." Down in verse 30. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You know, Christmas is one of those times where we find both comfort and concern, don't we? Christmas is one of those times that can be a challenge. It's one of the few times of the year that some of us can feel alone in a crowd, right? We long for connection. We long for good communication and good relationship within family and with friends and within our community. But sometimes our hearts get focused not only on what we have at Christmas, but what we don't have. Yeah, Christmas, for many of us, is a bittersweet occasion. Because it is a time when we miss family or want to go see family, or it's a time when we do get together with family and we see some of the rifts and cracks in relationship that we forgot because it's been a year or so since we saw them. And yet Christmas can be that delightful time when we are called to contemplate and reflect upon the gift that is ours in Christ Jesus, the gift of the gospel, the gift of God come to join us in human flesh, the commitments of God to us. Yes, Christmas brings comfort, Christmas brings concern, but most importantly, Christmas brings Christ. And it is Christ that we celebrate this morning. You know, oftentimes we sing at this time of the year, "Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year." My question is, do we believe it? In the fullness of what God promises, do we believe that this is to be cherished in our lives? that which came in a manger. God Himself entered the world through a virgin, was birthed and was laid in a feeding trough to the baths and the moos of the cattle and the sheep. Do we think about what a remarkable thing it is that Christ was born for us? Here's the message that the angel had to Mary and Joseph and has to us this morning. What does Christmas mean? What does Christmas call us to? Well, Christmas calls us to at least three truths here in the text. It calls us to fear not. It calls us to forget not. It calls us to forsake not. Christmas is a call to reflect upon our hopes in Christ and to remember that all the hopes of humanity coalesce in this feeding trough where this child who will redeem all His people from their sin has come. First this morning, Christmas is a call to fear not. Verse 20 in Matthew 1, we are reminded as the angel comes to Joseph, he says to Joseph, but as he considered these things, as Joseph thought about the fact that a woman he had not known and was to be married to was pregnant, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of God, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And likewise, as Mary was reflecting upon what was happening to her body, the angel Gabriel comes to her in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and he says this, and the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. See there, at Christmas, in its very essence, is startling, right? Christmas in its very onset was startling. Those who saw Christmas coming first, they were startled at the promise of Jesus. They were unaware of what was to take place, and as it came upon the scene, Joseph was disturbed apart. Mary was dumbfounded as she considered the truths. Joseph felt betrayed. How could this happen? It was humanly unexplainable. What would people think? Mary was befuddled. And yet the truth that was being placed before them and is placed before us this morning is fear not. The Son of God has come, Emmanuel. God is with us. That's the beauty of Christmas. It's startling. It's befuddling. It even has that sense of trial. And yet, at that very essence of Christmas is this promise, is that God is with us. An author named Nicholas Sparks tells of a story. When he was a young boy in 1972, he was six. His brother Micah was seven. They were joined the Cub Scouts, and they had the opportunity then to enter a contest, a rocket contest, little wooden rockets that were powered by CO2 canisters to see how high they would fly. When the morning came that they were to go and enter the contest, the two boys traipsed off alone. They walked over a mile to get to the contest site, and as they set up their rockets, they shot them into the sky, and Nicholas was instantly discouraged. In the first round, he lost, and he got the first loser's ribbon. His brother, seven, a whole year older than him, did well. He kept winning after time, and ended up getting second place. That only served to discourage Nicholas's heart all the more. His brother got a red ribbon. He got the applause of the crowd, and he was very distraught after the event. He said, I did horrible, and even my ribbon says it. On top of that, little blue ribbon he had received was honorable mention, but being 6 years old, as he sounded it out, he told his seven-year-old, much more mature brother, see, they even tell me I'm horrible. He sounded it out, ha, ha, r-bull, horrible mention. It was how he viewed his life in this event. It was destroyed. It was just horrible. And Nicholas Sparks tells that at that moment, Micah came to him and he said, "I'll share my ribbon with you, and most importantly, I'm with you." Sometimes what we fail to see about Christmas is that is the great truth of Jesus coming. God with us. You ever been down in heart and someone you love comes alongside? They don't say much, they don't do much, but they bolster you just by their presence. Christmas is that all the more. Because not only does Jesus come to bolster us by His presence, He comes to restore us in that presence. You see, we are to fear not because He restores. The very heart of Christmas is this truth. Jesus has come to restore. We are told in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that He was called Emmanuel, God with us. That the reason Joseph and Mary were put in this predicament and called not to fear is because God's plan was so much bigger than them, that God would bring a Savior to redeem a world. See, here's the beauty of the present of Christmas, is that Christmas restores. It restores God's presence to us. It restores us to God, and that is the beauty of the gift of Christmas. You see, there is the uniqueness of the virgin birth here. You know, as their hearts fear and as their hearts tremble, as Mary and Joseph seek to make sense of it, they're trying to make sense of something that is beyond them, right? This has never happened before. As a matter of fact, it'll never happen again. And yet here it is, a virgin birth. Why? Because God takes on human flesh and comes among us. God Himself, the eternal God of all of history, enters time and space in humanity to restore us and our relationship to Him. It's the uniqueness of the virgin birth. That's why we have this title. Emmanuel, God with us, is a title of who God is and what God does. But it's also a declaration. The virgin birth is a declaration of God's promises to us. Why? Because it's the ultimatum of the virgin birth. If sinless man can come forth, then sinful man can be redeemed. And here we have the ultimatum. You shall call His name Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, the name Joshua means the Lord saves. Jesus is the New Testament rendering of the name Joshua. And when even in the name that they are given, Mary and Joseph, to give to Jesus, the name they are called to call Him is implicit His job. The Lord saves. Why do we need not to fear today? Why was it that Mary and Joseph, even though they would receive the condemnation, maybe of friends and family, they would receive the backlash of this unexpected pregnancy. Why were they to fear not? Because God was with them. You see, God is calling them to the same thing He calls us to this morning. Stand firm in faith. Fear not. Fear not, stand in faith. Why? Because God is with you. Fear not, God restores. It's a great hope for us at Christmas time, isn't it? That God restores, that God gives, that God meets us where we are, and that He reminds us that the truth that was true that day for Joseph and Mary are true for us, that the living God has come to us, and that we may entrust all our fears to Him. Is your heart fearful? Is your heart ever fearful? The only answer to fear is the presence and peace that comes in Christ. The more we try to untangle our fears as it works its way out, the more fearful we become. But the more we lay our fears at the feet of Christ, the more His presence keeps us and sustains us. You see, here's the good news of Christmas, that God has come, that He is God with us. And that is the answer to our true troubles. Why? Because God has made promise to His people that He will not leave us and forsake us, that He will be with us. How? How is it that Jesus does that? Well, as we is received by faith, as we stand strong on the promises of Christ, He enables us to, in His Word, find the truths that confront fear, but most importantly, to find Him who confronts fear. You see, when you are anchored to the promises of the God of the universe, though your problems may be bigger than you, they are not bigger than God. And that was the truth for Joseph and Mary. As they thought about their reputation and their challenges in life and raising a child, this child, Jesus, God was bigger than that challenge. Because God is the one who leads in life. So fear not, stand firm. See, here is the call first. As the angel called Joseph and Mary, God calls us today, fear not. He restores. Our Savior restores. But secondly, I want you to see in our passage, not only a call to fear not, but a call to forget not. Look back again at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Notice there call upon Joseph. What does the angel tell him after he's told her that she will conceive of the Holy Spirit a child? He says, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Notice over in Luke chapter 1 that mirror truth comes to Mary as well in verses 31 and 32. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Lord saves, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Here is a God who redeems. Jesus has come to redeem. Forget not, Jesus redeems. That's the truth of Christmas. We are to fear not. God is with us. We are to forget not. God has come to redeem, and that redemption is secure. You know, one of the great things about being a dad and getting to do homework with your kids is when they ask you those questions that you learned in grade school and you have to recall them. Like, Dad, what's an integer? An integer. I know that word. Or, Dad, can you tell me the prime numbers? You can tell math wasn't my best subject, right? Or you know, right now we're working through the Earth and our, so Dad, what are the three kinds of rock in the Earth's surface? You know? Yeah, that's a challenge. Yeah, I know you know. Yeah, you know, so I have to learn with Joshua, who has his hand up over here, that, you know, sedimentary and metamorphic and igneous rock are the three rocks. You know, somewhere in my past, I learned those things, but I forgot them, right? There are things that I forgot. You know, we can often relate in our relationship to God in the same way, right? Truths come to us again and again, and we get this kind of spiritual dropsy, just like Pastor Wade gets this mental dropsy about things he learned in grade school. We get this spiritual dropsy about our relationship to Christ. Again and again, we hear the truths that kind of hit and bounce off our hearts and our minds. But see, here's the call of Christmas. Forget not. Why has Jesus come? Jesus has come to save His people from their sins. That's the message we want to hold on to at Christmas. Forget not, our God redeems. And there's a wonderful truth. Our God redeems, and that's the truth that we want to hold fast to at Christmas. Why? Because God has given Himself for us. You know, this is a truth of history. We dare not forget the heart of Christmas is that Jesus saves. It's not merely a great story, it's a true story. You know, we live in a culture that likes Christmas, but not necessarily the salvation that Christmas offers, right? And yet, we must hold fast to the truth of history that our God came to live, to die, and to rise again. That's all here in this feeding trough before us that holds the Redeemer and Savior of the world. Our God redeems. It's history. It's truth. This is not one of those other Christmas stories that begins this way once upon a time. This is not the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's not the story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. It's not the story of Frosty the Snowman. No, this is the story of his story. This is the story of all of history, that Jesus entered the world to save his people from their sins. There is the beauty of the gospel for us. You see, Jesus' death is our life. Jesus came to change us. Jesus came to deliver us. Jesus came to reconcile us. He came in redemption to make us his. He came to offer peace. Christmas, when the angels saw what God had planned and what He would do, the angels, what did they ring forth? It was a joy to the world and peace on earth, right? We long for peace, don't we? You know, in our circles, there are two kinds of peace. One I call a dysfunctional peace, and one is that delightful peace that comes from God. But all too often, it's not that we don't want peace, we want peace. It's that we settled for too little peace, right? It's not that we get too much peace in life. It's that we settle for too little peace in life. That dysfunctional peace looks like this. You know, Christmas is coming, and so you'll have family and friends together. And you'll say to one another, you and your spouse, or you and a couple of the families, you know, we want to make it through Christmas peacefully this time. Let's try to keep the peace. And so what do? You get together, you have a nice meal, you watch the football game, you play a little charades, you enjoy it, but you don't bring up any of those topics that might break the peace, right? Oh, we had a peaceful Christmas. You know, for some of us, peace is just peace and quiet, right? But the peace that is intended here, the knowledge that Jesus has come to save us from our sin, is much more than that. It deliberately provokes those irritations in us to bring about a gentle reconciliation, a loving faithfulness, a commitment to one another. You see, Jesus didn't just come to be peaceable. He came to make peace. He came to build relationship. He came to strengthen relationship. He came to give grace. You want peace this Christmas? Forget not, Jesus redeems. Fear not, Jesus restores. Forget not, Jesus redeems. And then thirdly, I want you to see here that our God reigns. Forsake not, our Lord is King. It doesn't always seem that way in the tabloids, in the news press, but let me tell you that God has spoken it in His Word. Here is the message for all of history. Jesus reigns. He came to be King and to reign. Notice there in Luke 32 and 33 again, as God sets forth His message before Mary. Notice, He will be great. And He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And His kingdom shall have no end. And His kingdom shall have no end. And here's the call for us in that. Because Jesus reigns, we are to forsake not. You know, many of us want a Savior. Sometimes we don't acknowledge that that's what we want. But every time we want a solution to our problems, what we really want is a Savior. And Jesus has come and said, I am the true Savior. Most of us want a here and now Savior, right? I've got problem A. If I can get solution A to fix problem A, we don't think of it in a Savior model. But oftentimes we construct our solutions and we end up worshiping our solutions. But God has said the true solution has come, and He is the Savior Christ, and He reigns. You see, we have this call. Because our God restores and redeems and reigns, we are to forsake not the call of Christmas to commit ourselves to His forever kingdom. He will not be dethroned. He will not forsake His own, and we are not to forsake Him. We are to walk fast with the One who has given Himself for us. You know, I have a family member. It's not really Christmas for this family member until they've watched that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You know that movie? George Bailey, right? Okay, the stuff with Clarence is theologically off, okay? But the redeeming factor of that story is George Bailey and his constant attention to others' needs above his own, right? And he comes to the point where Uncle Billy loses the $8,000 and he sees life crumbling before him and he becomes suicidal, and the angel helps him see what the world of Bedford Falls would have been like without him, right? How it would have become Pottersville, and the slumlord would have had it all, and how his brother wouldn't have been saved, and how the pharmacist would have killed another kid. And you know, you watch the movie, you can go back, you can remember the scenes, right? You know, what's the enduring truth of that movie? It's that this guy, though he had other aspirations, George Bailey had other aspirations, right? He was going to go build skyscrapers and bridges. And he ends up saving the savings and loan again and again, right? And you know, there's that poignant moment near the end of the movie where he has realized the value of his life and he just wants to live, right? When he calls out to Clarence and he calls out to God, I want to live, right? And there is this realization that it is faithfulness in life that really matters, right? In the story of It Is a Wonderful Life, it's faithfulness in life that really shows you your friends, right? Well, let me tell you this. The true friend of all the universe is Christ Himself, who came to redeem and has come to reign. You can follow a king like that because he did not forsake you to your sin and struggle. He bought you out of it to reign over you. Our God reigns and He will not be dethroned. To the very end, He will save us. You see, beloved, our need this morning is not a here and now Savior. Our need is a now and forever Savior, and that is Jesus. Jesus not only conquers our fears and gives us peace, He sees us to our eternal reality in peace and joy and comfort and fullness in life. And that's the message of Christmas. Fear not, He is with us. Forget not, He redeems. There is no pit that you can dig that Jesus hasn't dug deeper still to redeem us out the whole of our sin. Forsake not, He reigns. Despite what your world says, Jesus is in control. He is on His throne, and His kingdom is forever. Christmas is not a nice tale like Santa. Christmas is a whole other reality that we are to conform our lives to because Jesus reigns. And so Christmas is war. We don't tend to think of Christmas as war, but you see it day by day. Christmas is war because the Son of God entered this world to redeem and to restore and to bring a people to Himself to reign. And there's our hope at Christmas. And so if Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, He must be Lord of us as well. I know some of you in this room, you might say, you know, this spiritual stuff, it holds nothing for me. I'm just going to put it off again. And you probably can do that today. But it doesn't change this fact. Jesus reigns over heaven and earth. And the truth is, as Scripture says, that every day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You see, this day, the reason God shows you His reign and His redemption and His restoration is so that you may receive that this God restores and redeems and reigns over us for our good. We all need a little spiritual housekeeping today to see where our heart truly stands with the Christ of Christmas. And I want to say before you that before you can truly understand and before you can truly receive the benefits of Christmas, you must receive the Christ of Christmas. You know what Christmas means? Roughly, it means Christ is sent. Why was Christ sent? He was sent for us. Jesus is always both Savior and Lord. And so the spiritual housekeeping of our souls is to be resolved to follow Jesus, to be committed to follow Jesus by faith, to be covenanted with Jesus, that He is our God. By faith, we receive the Savior at Christmas. By faith, we receive the Savior for all times. And if we seek Him, we will find the treasure of Christmas. Our God is always on time. You know, some of your deliveries might be late this Christmas season. But this delivery is not late. Jesus is always on time. He comes precisely when He attends, and He will come again. And our hope, Christmas by Christmas, till He comes again, is that our God reigns. At precisely the right time, the Bible tells us, He came. And at precisely the right time, He will come again. And what we need to take away Christmas by Christmas, and in particular this day, this Christmas, is that we are to fear not, He restores. We are to forget not, He redeems. We are to forsake not, He reigns. Our God is with us. Emmanuel has come to us. God with us. The blessing of Christmas comes to those who trust and believe. Beloved, trust and believe in the sent one, the Christ of Christmas. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the privilege that is ours this morning to be reminded of the good news of Christmas. And Father, would You absolve our fears? And would You give us peace? And would You train our hearts to follow the Savior? So that we might know a King who restores and redeems and reigns, that the whole year through we might delight in the Christ of Christmas. For we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.